So this Advent, we've been inspired by this image here. Let me put it up on the screen for us. We've been inspired by that image that NASA tells us is a photo of stars being born, a star birthing region. We've wondered if the God who creates all this and the God who comes to us in human flesh, standing in our lives and in our world, we've been thinking about and reflecting on the Advent hope of a starlit night. Today, we're going to enter into the stories from the first two chapters of the Gospel of Luke that tell us of those months leading up to the birth of Jesus, those days and those nights filled with wonder and hope and love. The messages from angels, the silences, the songs, Elizabeth and Zechariah, Mary and Joseph, the shepherds watching their flocks at night. We'll hear their stories and we will wonder together how they experience the hope of a starlit night and the joy and the love and the promise of peace. We'll start with the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, two people well along in years, who receive from an angel some life-changing news.
Our first scripture reading is from Luke chapter 1, verses 8 through 20. Once when Zechariah was serving as priest before God during his section's turn of duty, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of God to offer incense. Now at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of God standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of God. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many people of Israel to their sovereign God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and disobedient to the wisdom and righteousness, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I know that this will happen? For I am an old man and my wife is getting on in years." The angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you have not believed my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak until the day that these things occur."
Zechariah is a man of words. He's a priest immersed in the words of scripture, the Torah, and as a priest, he has responsibility on behalf of the people for the words and the actions of worship. On this day, his job is to enter into the holiest parts of the temple while the people wait outside, to offer the incense sacrifices to God, and then to emerge and speak a blessing on the people. But on this day, Zechariah's world falls silent. Zechariah enters into the holiest place. He performs the ritual, and in the midst of that, an angel appears. Now remember, in scripture, angels are these fiery messengers. So they almost always say, "Be not afraid," because people are afraid. "Be not afraid, Zechariah," the angel says. "Your prayer has been answered. You and Elizabeth have prayed for a child, and you will soon have a child. You will both be filled with joy and gladness, the whole world too. And this child of yours will help set the world right. He'll turn the people toward God and parents toward their children's hope." But Zechariah is old. Elizabeth too. And so he says, how can this be? I am old. To which the angel replies, and I am Gabriel. I stand in God's presence. I've been sent to tell you this good news, your prayer answered, but because you faltered, you'll be silent. You'll be silent until these things come to pass, as they surely will. Zechariah is given some time to think. Imagine what that must have been like. Zechariah comes out from the temple. Instead of speaking a blessing, he makes signs. The people are perplexed. And scripture says that he goes on home. Home from Jerusalem to Elizabeth to their house. He can't tell in spoken word Elizabeth what has happened. So maybe he scratches it out in the sand. He can't do his priestly duty. So he's there in the house day after day. He watches Elizabeth. He sees for the first time how hard she works, stretching what little they have to put food on the table. Sometimes there's enough left over for the widow next door, and sometimes even for the children down the street. A few weeks in, maybe Elizabeth suggests that he get out of the house some. And so Zechariah ventures out into the streets. He has time to see the things he's always just rushed on by. He sees folks in the marketplace doing their best to make a living. He sees the poor, children begging for food because there's not enough to eat. He sees folks who have been pushed to the margins, those whose bodies are different, those who can't walk or can't see. He sees the people he has pushed out as one of those who's been enforcing religious rules of who is in and who is out. He moves among them now as one who can't speak, and compassion stirs within him. At night after dinner, Zechariah reaches across the table and squeezes Elizabeth's hand in gratitude. He helps her clear and clean, and when she has drifted off, he is still alert to the sounds of the night, so he walks outside into the crisp, cool air. Zechariah looks up at the starlit sky. He sees the stars and the moon that God has set in place, and he wonders. He wonders at the God who created all this, the same God who sends angels with tidings of good news to an aging couple who had given up hope. Zechariah thinks of the child who is on the way, this child he thought not possible, and he prays for the things parents pray for, love and safety and health, a life filled with meaning and happiness. In the expanse of the starlit night, Zechariah experiences God's tender mercy deeper and broader than he has ever known. God's tender mercy breaking into the world even now to those who hurt and hope, guiding the whole world into the way of peace. And while Zechariah stands there and wonders and hopes, he noticed that Elizabeth is standing at his side. She noticed he was gone, and she's come out to find him. She wraps her arm around his waist. He puts his arm over her shoulder, and she leans into him. And they stand there together under that starlit sky, full of love and tender mercy and hope. Meanwhile, not too far away, under that same starlit sky, Elizabeth's young cousin Mary sleeps, and she is about to awaken to a day unlike any day she has ever known.
Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. As he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, God is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greetings that might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and be called Son of the Most High, and God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who is said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, servant of God. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her.
Mary wonders what kind of greeting this might be, this message from this fiery messenger. "Yes, yes," she says, "let this be unto me what you have said." But what? Scripture says that Mary gathers her things and heads to the hill country, to the home of Zechariah and her cousin Elizabeth, someplace she feels safe. She walks into the house and Elizabeth's baby leaps in her womb. Elizabeth lets out a shout, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is she who believed the promises of God." And Mary sings out a song to God and they embrace, laughing and crying at the same time. The house is full of joy, full of joy, full of love, full of life. And when Zechariah comes back home, he finds the two women wrapped in conversation, exuberant, overflowing, and he greets them with a silent smile. Mary stays with Elizabeth and Zechariah. She helps Elizabeth get ready for the coming birth. Mary settles into the rhythms and routines of their quiet house, even as she holds and ponders the angel's words. At night, when her elders have gone to sleep, she climbs up onto the flat roof of the house and thinks on these things there. Mary hears the echo of the angel's voice and looks up at the starlit sky, and what she sees there in the stars and the constellations amazes her. As she looks up, she sees empires falling like a shower of stars in the night. She sees the powerful pulled down from their seats of oppression. She sees Orion lay down his sword and his bow. Andromeda freed from her chains. Mary looks up into the starlit sky and sees the poor and hurting soothed and lifted up. Bodies and spirits healed and made whole. She sees the hungry filled and fed. 4,000, 5,000, a multitude from all the corners of the earth gathering at a table where everyone has a place and everyone has enough. Mary looks up into the starlit sky as she rests her hand on her belly and feels the child within her move. She looks up and what she sees is a new creation coming into being even now. She sees the stars and moon that God has set in the heavens, and she sees stars being born, an eternity stretching back and reaching forward farther than she or we will ever comprehend. She sees a reordering of the world she has known, where the powerful no longer harm and the powerless no longer hurt. What Mary sees in that moment, what she experiences in the stars of the night sky in her embodied life, is God turning the world right side up. Mary stays with Elizabeth and Zechariah until their son is born. They name him John, as the angel had instructed, at Elizabeth's direction. Confirmed when Zechariah scratches in the sand, "His name is John, do what she says." And Zechariah is then freed to speak and to sing his own song. And Mary goes home. We know the story from here. She and Joseph head to Jerusalem to be counted in the emperor's census. They travel a dry and dusty road, Mary great with child. And when they arrive, they find shelter in a stable because there's no room for them in the inn. They settle in, and as night falls, Mary prepares to give birth. Not alone. We know that elsewhere, under that starlit sky, there are shepherds keeping watch over their flocks.
Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of God stood before them, and the glory of God shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those who God favors."
The shepherds are out here in this cold, starlit night out in the fields. As one writer has said, we don't find them at night in the shelter of houses, but out under the canopy of heaven. And why shepherds? It's a bit odd. The good news comes first, not to kings or wise men, but to shepherds. In the hierarchical world of Roman occupation, shepherds would have been down on the lowest rungs. They weren't held in high esteem. They lived with their sheep, often seen as shiftless, grazing other people's land. But remember Mary's vision. Mary's song of the powerful being pulled down and the lowly lifted up. The shepherds are among the lowly being lifted up. So of course, this good news comes to them. This good news is for them. Good news of great joy for all people. What are their hopes? As they sit with their sheep under the starlit sky, maybe they hope for a bit of warmth, a bit of food. Maybe their hopes are for their sheep, that they survive the night, that no predators attack. Or maybe their thoughts are back with the family they've left elsewhere, their children they're working to feed, their lives clinging to the edge of bare subsistence. As they shiver in the night, they hope for the well-being of their families, for health and healing, for peace in a world of violence, for freedom, for a little bit of joy, some good news for those they love, and for the whole world too. This Advent, we have been thinking about the hope of a starlit night. We've thought some about the blessings and challenges of the night, the rest and the restlessness, the particular tender mercies that persist through the watches of the night, the longing for freedom, the love and the life that pulses on even when evening comes and the world grows still. We find that all that here in this moment with the shepherds out on the hills under the canopy of the sky, with Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth and Zechariah, all of them then, all of us now, standing together in the complexity of our lives, in the troubles of our world, standing here together on these Advent nights, looking up in wonder at the starlit sky. We bring to these Advent nights all the particularity of who we are, each of us, our life, our loves, our hopes, and our longings. And gathered together, there is something deeply human that we share. Our humanity, with all its troubles, surrounded and filled with grace and peace and love and hope and joy. Our humanity, the place where God enters into this world to save us from everything that does us harm, where God comes now and all time to set the world free. These Advent nights before Christmas, we've heard this story before. We've heard it before so many times that we know it in our bones, and we tell it again to each other now because we know this to be true now and always and forever. God is already here and always, always on the way. Thank you.